Greetings, everyone. My name is William Porter. Welcome to this edition of Storytelling Time. This program is sponsored by Every Dot Black Entrepreneurs Network. Our foundation scripture today comes from Matthew, the 7th chapter, 7th verse, and the 8th verse. And it says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be given to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open." The Storytelling Time program this week is the second story coming from Chapter 7, On the Beach, in the book Heaven Can't Wait, or Can It?, the sequel. The title of the story today is Sandra Travels to Bermuda. Before we start with our story today, listen to the following discussion I had with a local entrepreneur about some of the mechanics in regards to writing a book. It comes from an earlier podcast, so take a listen. Well, speaking of a plan, that's what we've mentioned previously on these podcasts as far as members of our audience becoming an author, and that is have a plan of action in terms of not only what you're going to write, but the logistics of the book itself. And I'm talking about a title as well as an outline of the specific chapters. I'll be writing actually it's going to be my 6th manuscript. It will turn out to be my 6th book. So I've been pretty active. Of course, I'm retired. As you know, I had a career in public education, so I have the time to do it. So time is really not an issue with me, fortunately. But I do have a plan, and it's structured, and you've talked about being structured. And but that plan, as far as becoming an author, being successful, is very specific, developing a specific title. Of course, even before that, you have to determine whether it's going to be fiction or nonfiction. And personally, I've developed in my initial work in establishing what I want to write on is 10 chapters. And I've identified or given a title to each one of those chapters. And you suggested earlier, indicated that you need to know the end even before the middle or the beginning. And so I've done that. At least I have an idea. But I have a goal of writing a chapter per month, and I have 10 chapters. And so if you count from June on, in March, I should be completing my 10th chapter. So, and I still have, will have a couple of months before next June when once you finish the writing, you have to do the proofreading. Of course, you do proofreading all along. And then, but you have to have the binding taking place and working with your publisher, unless you self-publish. But even if you self-publish, you have there are certain things that you have to do. And so again, as I've told my audience, I plan to have a finished product that is a book by June of 2020. And I'm hopeful that many people out there in America will follow suit and write along with me, and by June of 2020, they will have their own book, whether it be their first or second book or third book. It's an opportunity to take advantage of a plan, as you mentioned, to write, because usually you just don't have a plan. If you want to write a book, like I've done in writing my first 3 books, I just wanted to write, and I just started to think about what I was going to write about and went ahead and wrote. Of course, it worked out okay for me because, as I said, I did have the time. But it's a big advantage knowing that you have a specific set of goals in mind, and that's what we're providing with these series of podcasts. Let's take a break. We'll be right back with our story. Thank you. Welcome back. As the homegoing service for Matthew was now over, Missy would soon be left all alone in her house. Sandra would be one of the last to leave, as she would return home in Detroit. Missy's other children had already left, including Maggie, who had left earlier in the day. Missy had mixed emotions about Sandra leaving, because she would soon have the house all to herself. Quite a difference from the crowds of people that flowed through her home over the past several days. Before Sandra left, Missy said she could take her to the airport to catch her flight to Bermuda on the Friday coming up for her weekend trip to that tropical paradise. Missy had a long discussion with Sandra before she left. "Sandra, I'd be more than happy to take you to the airport for you to make your flight."
"Oh, Mansy, thank you so much. I could never repay you for helping me."
Don't worry about it. Just be ready Friday morning and I'll take you."
"Okay, Mansy, I'll be ready when you get to my apartment. But you know, things just won't be the same without Matthew being around. But don't worry. When I return from my trip to Bermuda, I'll come by to see you often, to make sure you're doing okay without Matthew being here. You can depend on me to do that, Mansy."
"Thank you so much, Sandra. You're very gracious. But you need to just take care of yourself. Anyway, I know you have to leave now, and I appreciate all that you've done even before the passing of Matthew. Just let me know the specific time you want me to come to take you to the airport. You don't want to miss your flight."
"Okay, Mansy. I'll be calling you about the best time for you to come and get me, and I'll be waiting for you on Friday when you pick me up, and I'll see you then."
Missy would soon be left alone in her home for the first time in about a week. Since Matthew's passing, the house was almost constantly occupied by relatives, friends, including Sandra, and church members. Missy had to clear away many flowers and plants that were left at the house as a symbol of people's love for Matthew and their concern for Missy as she moved forward in her life. As Sandra was no longer with her, Missy felt she needed to get away from her house for a while. She decided to drive down to the local grocery store that was only about a mile from her house. As Missy came into the store, she was not certain about what she would pick up. She headed towards the produce section and saw an open refrigerated area of a nice assortment of green vegetables. Just beyond that, Missy noticed a flowering plant, one that was much taller than the other plants in that area. The plant was situated around a pole that had an orange ball on top of it, and there was a straw hat on top of the ball, which appeared to be strikingly similar to the straw hat Matthew had worn when going to town and to other places performing his errands. Missy was so intrigued by it, by the plant, that she took it and made her way to the purchase counter. What Sandra had said to herself earlier about Missy not showing emotion in response to Matthew's death would not apply to her at this time. Tears began to build in Missy's eyes, and she felt all the emotion she had kept contained over the past few days slowly rising within her. She moved as quickly as she could to the checkout, hoping to make the purchase before she would start to weep openly. But her efforts to control her emotions were not successful. She constantly wiped the tears from her eyes as the plant reminded her so much of Matthew. Soon, Missy made it to her vehicle, where she no longer held back the tears. After she entered her car and sat behind the steering wheel, she allowed herself to mourn even more than she had back at the store. The tears she shed represented an emotional release of her spirit that she sorely needed. When Missy returned home, she placed the plant above the huge fireplace in between two large windows in her bedroom as her personal memorial to Matthew. At that point, now being alone in a house for the first time without Matthew being there, tears again began to flow. Let's take a break and we'll be right back. Welcome back. While Maggie was getting accustomed to her new life at home without Matthew, Sandra was eager to get on with her trip. She thought that being on the beach of Bermuda would provide her with some of the answers to the many questions she had at the time. One of those questions regarded the conflict between her feelings for Mincy and the feeling she continued to have for Mincy's son-in-law, Fred. Despite those feelings, Sandra's main concern now was her physical health. She felt she needed to ponder her life and the possibility of losing it based on the prognosis given to her by those doctors in Minnesota. Sandra had called Mincy to give her the time of the flight's departure for Bermuda. As Mincy had told Sandra earlier, she would come by her apartment and take her to the airport about 2 hours before departure. On a brisk Friday morning, Mincy made the one-hour drive to Sandra's home in Detroit. When Mincy arrived at her apartment, she rang her front doorbell. Then Sandra opened the door and greeted her.
Hello, Mincy.
Hello, Sandra. I finally made it. Are you ready?
I'll be ready in just a second, Mincy. I'm so glad you're here. Yes, I'll be ready in a little while. Come on in and make yourself comfortable. Give me about 5 minutes and I'll be ready. Yeah, go ahead and sit down. Mincy, I really appreciate it so much that you're here taking me to the airport. I don't know what I'd do without you.
Oh, don't mention it, Sandra. You know I'm here for you when you need me. Just go ahead and finish getting ready. You do know now that you have only 4 minutes left.
Oh, Mincy, you're so funny. I'll be right back.
After those greetings, Sandra went to get her luggage. She soon returned to where Maggie was. As she largely disregarded the time, Sandra said to her,
Mincy, I'm all packed and ready to leave now. But before we go, I just want to say that I had a wonderful dream last night, and it was of Matthew. I dreamed that he had a personal chat with me one of the times I visited you and him at your house, and I think it was the first time when Maggie brought me to see the two of you. I know we have to leave now, but I'll tell you about it sometime. Just remind me. Anyway, in the dream, Matthew said as clearly as you are talking now that he was fine being confined to a wheelchair and how much he appreciated me being a part of the family. It was such a confident dream, Mincy, the confidence he had dealing with his disability. I knew right then and there Matthew's spirit was all around me, even in that dream. Now, what do you think about that, Mincy?
Well, yeah. I've heard that's one of the ways our spirits can connect with those who have left us, through visions and dreams. But I must admit, it's a controversial subject, and I don't get into spirits and dreams a whole lot. But I'm not dismissing the idea. I'm just not very familiar with it. But listen, Sandra, I thought you were not going to give me any details of the dream you had. I'll be sure to remind you to tell me those details later. But right now, I think we'd better head to the airport if you want to make your flight.
Okay, Mincy. I'm ready.
After that, Mincy did drive Sandra to the airport, and soon after that, Sandra was off to Bermuda. Let's take another break, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. It was a smooth flight to that small island in the Atlantic. Upon arrival, Sandra got her luggage and found a taxi that would take her to her place of lodging for the weekend. It was called Motor City on the Beach Resort. Prior to boarding the taxi, she said to herself,
Boy, This place is all I thought it would be. It's so warm and nice here.
Then the taxi driver helped Sandra put her things into his vehicle, and soon they were off. The destination? The Bermuda Resort she had signed up for. As they drove along, Sandra was amazed at what she saw along the countryside. Soon the taxi came to the point where the ocean was before her. Sandra said softly to not distract the driver,
"Look at those waves. Sure is different than Detroit."
Because the airport was situated along the coast, it was not long when Sandra had the opportunity to view the ocean for the first time. Sandra enjoyed the 30-minute ride from the airport to the hotel in full view of that ocean environment almost the whole way. Then her excitement grew as she got closer to her place of lodging for the weekend. When Sandra arrived at the inn, she got out of the taxi and had the driver unload her luggage. Sandra then entered the building and was impressed with the chandeliers suspended high above the ceiling. She also noticed candles that were secured in small wall fixtures situated on each side of four huge windows. That certainly added to the ambiance of the place. The flickering small flames of those candles helped provide a dim light to most of the lobby. Soon, Sandra was met by the owner of the facility. The owner's name was Aaron, who appeared only slightly older than Sandra. Aaron said to her, "Come on in. I've been waiting for you. The system notified me of your arrival. My name is Aaron Pearson, and I understand your name is Sandra. Can I call you Sandra?"
"Yes, of course."
"Okay, then. I'm sure glad you're here. But what I want to know is, why come this weekend? Did you know that a tropical storm was forecast for the area tomorrow? Because of the expected storm, the place was evacuated yesterday. So right now, I'm the only one at the resort, and that's only because I live here. I have a suite there in the back. But, of course, now you'll be here with me. So, let me ask you again. You didn't know about the storm coming?"
No, I didn't know about the storm. I never look at the news, including weather forecasts, but I'll tell you why later."
"Okay, Sandra. Don't worry about it. The good news is that it's supposed to be as clear as a whistle before that storm comes. And I'm sure you'll enjoy the starlit sky over the ocean at night. I mean, it's one of the treasures of this place. And I can always play some nice music on this sound system we have. I'll tell you, Sandra, it can be so relaxing just sitting here listening to the waves, and even listening to good music sometimes. Anyway, sorry, I'm just allowing you into my world. But listen, your room number is 111, and you can put your clothes up for the weekend, and I'll have a small lunch ready for you when you come back here to the lobby, and we can talk about the storm and some other things."
"Okay, Miss Pearson."
Just call me Aaron. It'll be just the two of us here for the weekend. Oh, yeah, the chauffeur will be here too, but he's good at hiding himself unless he's needed. So there you have it. You're all set."
"Okay, Aaron,"
Sandra replied hesitantly, addressing her by her first name as she requested. What was supposed to have been just a few minutes of Sandra putting her clothes away in her room turned out to be over an hour. She decided to take a brief nap before returning to the lobby to talk with Aaron. After spending more time in her room than she had anticipated, Sandra finally returned to where Aaron was. When Sandra came back, she found Aaron in a rocking chair, staring out a huge window at the ocean waves beating on the shore. Then Aaron said to her, So, you finally returned, huh?
Sorry it took me a while, but I fell asleep. Guess I needed the rest.
Well, that's fine. I'm just here passing time. Why don't you go over yonder and get some sandwiches I made for you? When you come back, you can sit here in this other rocking chair and we can talk for a little while. Sandra did just that and came back with some turkey sandwiches and sat next to Aaron in another rocker. And they both enjoyed the magnificent view of the ocean, just rocking themselves back and forth, back and forth.
You know, Aaron, it's so calm here. I could stay here forever. Just listen to those ocean waves.
Excuse me, Sandra, for the pause. Yeah, I could sit here forever, too. I just love listening to the waves. And sometimes you can hear birds chirping, too. But yeah, I come here often and meditate on how good God has been to me. Sandra thought.
It's nice out here, but am I going to get another sermon today from this lady? Oh, sorry, Aaron. I was doing some meditating myself.
No worries, Sandra. Just listen to those waves. And I love that little giggle of yours. I think it's kind of cute.
Oh, Aaron, thank you so much. I could never repay you for helping me.
Sandra just smiled at that last remark by Aaron and continued to listen to the ocean waves with her. While Sandra didn't look forward to receiving godly advice, she knew she could use some words of wisdom at this time in her life. She was willing to do almost anything to change the negative prognosis that she had received. Let's take a break, and we'll be right back to finish the show. Welcome back. Yes, Sandra had finally made it to Bermuda. Hopefully, she would get the healing, somehow, that she so desperately needed. While not knowing it at the time, she would also have an introduction to her spiritual self. Stay tuned for both these changes in Sandra's life in future episodes. Well, that's all for today. In closing, I'd like to say, and would like for you to remember, that whatever you may be going through, such as with Sandra and our story with her medical condition, just keep in mind that there's always more good things coming your way. We'll see you the next time.